Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophets might be fulfilled, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep, and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Pray with me. Lord, you who are with us, we come this morning to praise you and to give you thanks for your love and concern for us, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Our minds have many demands distracting them and many pressures causing anxiety. We pray that during this time we may put these aside and be fully attentive to you and your message. Fill us with your renewing love and hope. Let us truly be your servants, seeking to do your will, not being caught up in our problems that we are blinded to our neighbor's pain and need. Open us, fill us, and use us. In Christ's name, amen. I want to welcome you to chapel this morning. Our service is designed to be a celebration of God's servant Mary. Mary opened herself completely to the will of God, and it is hoped that during this celebration, you will be able to focus on her example and how you can open your life to the will of God.
Thank you. few years ago, a group of Christians came together in a country in South America to reflect on what they could do to help transform social structures for the poor. At the end of the conference, there was a Mass and a Eucharist. After the Mass, there was a hymn sung. Not just any hymn. This particular one was the Magnificat, attributed to Mary, a lovely spiritual person, as we all know, the humble handmaiden of the Lord, and the one on this day who gives them their charge. They leave singing their song. The police cannot stop a bunch of Catholics from singing a hymn by the Blessed Virgin. But listen to the words. God has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. God has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted them of low degree, and has filled the hungry with good things. And the Lord God has sent them empty away. This song celebrates Mary, who, like her son, shared the vision of caring and ministering to the poor and lowly of the world.
With joy my heart shall overflow, for God has come to me and given one cast down and low a great glad destiny. The Holy One is near to all who seek the Maker's will, who honor one who comes from God to free us from all ill. God stretches out a mighty arm and scatters all.
Let us pray. Our precious Lord and Savior, we lift our hearts this morning in celebration. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your love. We praise you for the Bethlehem event. Be with us this morning. Speak to us. In your name we pray these things. Amen. Last week, my children and I visited the mall for our very first shopping adventure of the Christmas season. As we walked through the stores, I began to sense a feeling of excitement, of celebration. Thanksgiving Day has come and gone, and suddenly the Christmas season has been officially birthed in the eyes of the world. The merchants lured their prospective buyers with trim trees, blinking lights nestled in cotton snow, and mechanical animals in picturesque winter scenes. Children ran to and fro as they became caught up in the possibilities of their dreams being fulfilled on Christmas morning. A little boy of about 3 stood with his nose gently pressed against a store window and gazed wide-eyed as a toy train whistled its way through plastic tunnels and over cardboard bridges in the miniature town of Let's Pretend. As my children and I walked and became caught up in all of this, I began to reflect, and I thought, I wonder what it would have been like to walk the streets of Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And as I now begin to walk through those streets in my mind, I discover that again, people are everywhere, rushing, pushing, excited. I see a man standing near the inn of Bethlehem, and I ask him why the little town is so crowded. I am told that Caesar had decreed that a census be taken of all people in their own cities. People have come from everywhere, he said, to register. Some have come on their animals. Some have walked long distances to arrive before the deadline. I thank the man. And as I gaze over the confusion, I see another man leading his small donkey through the streets. As I watch, I realize that the woman on the donkey's back seems tired, pale. And then I realize that she is also pregnant. I wonder how far they have come as they pass by where I am standing, for the man seems to be looking for a place to stay. A place in which to rest his family. I listen as he talks to the clerk at the inn of Bethlehem, and I cannot believe what I am hearing, for he is told that there is no room. But where will they go? What will this poor woman do? It is getting dark now, but I am compelled to follow them, for the man is leading his family out of the town. To where? Surely not to that stable of animals. This cannot be, but what else can he do? For the town is full of government officials and people with wealth. But for this man and his family, there is no room. I wait. And in the darkness, there seems to be a great peace over the small town. The crowds have all gone, and the shadow of Bethlehem lies quietly against the clear night sky. Over the stable, a great star shines brightly, and in the distance, there seems to be singing. It is as if the angels have gathered together to blend their voices for some great event. As I listen to the cars, 3 shepherds come to the stable. I cannot wait any longer. I too must go in. And as I enter, I cannot but help notice that there is something different here. There is a feeling here, a feeling of warmth, a feeling of peace, a feeling, no, a presence of love. And as I dare to speak at all, I am stilled by a new babe's soft cry, by a mother's loving smile, and by the father's watchful eyes. And as I stand there, I realize that I am standing in the presence of the newborn Christ child. And my heart begins to rejoice with the hearts of Mary and Joseph, For the light of the world has come in the midst of darkness and chaos. Love has come down to touch the lives of humanity and to revive the way of salvation for all. Jesus has been born, and because of him, there is celebration. As my thoughts return to December 1981, I realize that Christmas is a time of celebration, a time in which to sing happy birthday to Jesus. But then I thought, there is more here than I have ever seen before. And as I began to study and to search deeper into the scriptures, I realized that God has a message to us through the witness of his servant, Mary. But who was she? How did she feel about what she was called to do in Bethlehem? And what does that, all of this have to do with us, God's servants? Join with me as we share together the reading of her story, as it is recorded in Luke 1, 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For with God, nothing is impossible." And Mary said, "Behold the bondslave of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word." I believe that in these few verses, we can gain insights into three things about our Christian lives. First, God speaks to us when we are centered in him through the living of the contemplative life, a life of prayer, a life lived in his presence. Secondly, God calls us to respond with commitment. And thirdly, there is celebration in accepting his love and his call for our lives. In verses 26 through 38, we see that the angel Gabriel comes to Mary with a message from God. She is a poor young Jewish girl, materially poor, yes, but she is also poor in spirit, one who is centered in the scriptures and in the presence of God. For the Bible tells us that she has dialogue with the messenger. Gabriel tells her that God is with her, that she will bear a son, and that she will name him Jesus. As Mary listened, the scriptures tell us that she pondered over what was being said to her. She did not interrupt. She did not argue. She did not resist God's word. She listened. And then she asked her questions. And why shouldn't she? After all, she and Joseph were only engaged and were not to be married for some time yet. And so she asked, how can this be? The angel explained patiently to her that the Holy Spirit would come upon her. And then he told her about the miracle that was taking place in Elizabeth's life. She had been barren for years, and to society she was fruitless. But with God, nothing is impossible. Notice again the dialogue, the listening, the questions asked, the answers given. In the midst of living the contemplative life. Secondly, notice again with me the commitment of Mary. In verse 38, she says, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. God had a special purpose for her life. And even though she knew that she could have been stoned by law, even though she knew that she could have been divorced from Joseph, even though she knew that she would have to face struggles and pain all of her life, even though she did not understand it all, she still decided to trust and to obey the word of God. And not only did she commit herself to his word, but she also allowed him to work out the details of her calling. For after the angel had left, Mary went to see Elizabeth, one whom she knew would understand her for who she was and for what she had been called to do. Notice that she did not go to Joseph. She did not go to her family to explain what had taken place in her life. But she went for a visit. And she left the details of her calling to God. But what were the results of her commitment? First, the Bible tells us that she was blessed among women in Luke 1:42. But she was also blessed not only because she was called to be the mother of Jesus, but also because she believed in God's word and she responded by faith. The second result of her commitment was the celebration that took place in Bethlehem. Mary bore the Son of God, and she celebrated in his birth. She could not understand it all. The whys of the stable, the hows of the great star, the whys of the shepherd's visit. She could not understand, but the Bible tells us that she treasured all of these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary's contemplative lifestyle, her commitment to do God's will, and her reasons for celebration should speak to all of us. These things have spoken to me, for as I reflected on Mary and on the Bethlehem event, I realized that I too have reasons for celebration. 16 years ago, I too became the mother of a son. My situation was not like Mary's. I was not visited by an angel. My son was not born in a stable. But as I look back now, there are many reasons for celebration. To begin with, my son was born 2 weeks before Christmas in the cold, snowy hills of Virginia. 6 days after his birth, he and I left the hospital to make our home in a rundown storefront apartment, a modern-day stable, perhaps. The day we left the hospital, I celebrated in my son's birth, but I also grieved over my husband's separation from us. For you see, he was imprisoned on that same day. When I arrived to what was to be my new home, I found 2 horse saddles that were to be sold for income, enough kerosene for 2 days of heat, very little food, and a few necessities for furniture. The week before Christmas that year, I lived on one pack of hot dogs, eating one a day, and my baby boy had his necessary milk. Christmas then, my friends, was not a time of celebration in my life. It was a struggle, a time in which only survival was important, a time in which I heard no angels sing, a time in which I felt no love from family or friends, a time in which there was no peace in my aloneness, a time in which I could not understand. 6 months later, I decided that I no longer could live as the convict's wife in a town in which there was no room, in a town that looked upon me with suspicion. And so I decided to move home, to get a divorce, and to begin a new life for myself and for my son. A few years later, I remarried. We had a baby girl. But after 3 years, I again found myself alone, for this time my husband had been killed in his job. The name of life's game, friends, was still survival. But in the fall of 1975, I rededicated myself to Jesus Christ, and I again accepted the call to ministry. I entered Baptist College at the age of 30 and graduated with honors and came to Southeastern in the fall of 1979 to continue my preparation for his service. Why am I telling you my story? Because I have reasons to celebrate. First, I celebrate in the fact that because of the love of Jesus, I have been brought out of the slums of society and spirit. My life was barren, fruitless. But with God, nothing is impossible. He loved me when I believed that no one really cared for myself or my son. He loved me when I was cold and hungry and alone. He was there in the midst of the struggles, giving me the strength and the willpower to go on. Secondly, I celebrate because in the midst of losing loved ones, God has given me others to love through the miracle of birth. Thirdly, I celebrate because I have learned the value of living the contemplative lifestyle. During this past year especially, I have learned the true meaning of trust and forgiveness, of prayer and of centering down with Him. Through a disciplined daily time with Jesus, I have experienced struggles and pain and joy as He and I have dealt with the issues of my life. In reflecting upon all this, I am reminded of a story about a woman who made it a habit of decorating her Christmas tree with the symbols of Christmas. When folks saw the tree, they found it to be a summons of recollection. For it did tell the story of the Bethlehem event. On it there were angels and shepherds, a manger and a star, camels, wise men, a harp and a dove. One year, there was a new ornament on the tree. It was a chimney sweep. Chimney sweep! A small wooden figure all in black, carrying a wire brush and a ladder. When asked, how can a chimney sweep be the symbol of Christmas or even of the Christian faith? The woman responded, it seems to me that the Christian faith issues a clear call to all of us to sweep the clutter and the cobwebs out of our spiritual and mental chimneys. We need to get rid of the soot left over from the fires of our past so that we can prepare ourselves for and commit ourselves to the burning issues of the present. I, my friend, am beginning to get rid of the soot left over from the fires of my past through the love and the grace of God
For through his word and through the loving witness of his children, I have discovered the true meaning of forgiveness. Fifthly, I celebrate for the miracle of medicine. As most of you or many of you know, my father is in intensive care in Birmingham, Alabama at this moment. Tuesday, he had open heart surgery. I flew back last night. And each time I went to see him on a 5-minute visit every 2 hours, we could go in for 5 minutes to intensive care and see him. And each time I saw him and he progressed a little at a time, and a little at a time, his color began to come back and he was stabilizing and he was in satisfactory condition. And seeing him progress, and each time I came out of the intensive care unit, I wanted to shout, I wanted to praise God because I saw him progressing. He was getting a little bit better each time. Before I left yesterday, the breathing tube was off. He had come to. And he spoke to me. I celebrate because through God, man has found a way to extend life. And without this operation, my dad would have died. I celebrate this morning. Fifthly, I celebrate because he has called me for a special purpose. In Galatians 1:15, Paul said, I was set apart even from my mother's womb. We all have been called to a special purpose, to serve in his kingdom. 2,000 years ago, God called a young Jewish girl to risk all and to trust him in obedience. He calls us, but his call involves risk. It involves trust. And it involves obedience. I, like Mary, do not understand all of my calling yet, but I'm certain and secure in his word. For I know that in Jesus Christ we are loved. In him and through the cross we have been cleansed. And in him we have meaning and purpose in life. We all have been called to be God-bearers. The world. So celebrate with me this morning the birthday of our Lord anew. Let us begin each new day of our lives singing happy birthday to Jesus. For with each new day, he is birthed and rebirthed in us as we are willing. Let us release into him the soot of our past and receive the forgiveness that frees us for the burning issues of the present. Let us commit our lives to him and surrender to his purpose for us. For without him, we all are barren, fruitless in his kingdom. Finally, let us celebrate the Bethlehem event with new understanding as we become who we are meant to be, created after his likeness and God-bearers of his love to the world. Precious Lord, for the Bethlehem event, we enter into celebration. For the power and for the comfort of your presence, oh Lord Jesus, we celebrate. For your everlasting love, we celebrate. For the new insights revealed to us in your word, we join in celebration. For the witness of your servant Mary, we celebrate. And for your birthday in each new day of our lives, we raise our hearts in celebration.
Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Amen.